I'd like to preach tonight on a sermon that I've entitled The Road to Revival. If you will, look at 1 Kings 18. This passage here is one of the most exciting in the Bible to me, and I'm sure many of you. The world and our country is getting more wicked every day. Now, I don't have to say that. But I just remind you, that's why Europe and many in America despise our president. All he has to do is mention God, and they're like dogs coming after him. And it's not only the unsaved, independent Baptist churches and colleges. If you were listening to the men that preached last week, they all referred to this. They're changing quickly. And without personal revival, you and I are going to be just pulled along with the flow. And I want to say something. It takes more than one decision. I get excited. I think you like it. You really get right with God. And then you just start floating downstream again. If you're going to have revival, if I'm going to have revival, it's a constant battle. It's continuous. I think of it as though we were swimming upriver and the waves are big. You can't float. Or pretty soon you're way past the negative area that you were in the past. We've got to fight for revival. And if we don't, we will be destroyed. Our church will be destroyed. Our families will be destroyed. Individuals. It's not a game. No more a game than the war we just went through. It's just more important. 1 Kings 18, verse 38, and we're going to read a lot. Again, I love this passage. We're going to read a lot of it tonight. Starting with verse 38, it says, "And then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and said, 'The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is the God.' And Elijah said unto them, 'Take the prophets of Baal, let not one of them escape.' And they took them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and slew them there. And Elijah said unto Ahab, 'Get thee up, eat and drink, for there's a sound of abundance of rain.' So Ahab went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel. And he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees. And he said to a servant, 'Go up now, look toward the sea.' And he went up and looked and said, 'There is nothing.' And he said, 'Go again seven times.' And it came to pass at the seventh time that he said, 'Behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand.' And he said, 'Go up and say unto Ahab, prepare thy chariot, and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not.' And it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and the wind, and there was a great rain. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. And the hand of the Lord was with Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel." Won't you pray with me that God will bless this service tonight? Our Heavenly Father, God, we need something. You were good to us last week, but we as people, so many times, we just want spurts. We just get a little bit, and we think that's enough to live on. And because of that, we're never what You'd have us to be. And so, Lord, I pray that we'd be hungry, to grow, become strong, not to be defeated, not to be just plugging along, but Lord, that we would be strong and see good things accomplished for your honor and glory. Again, Holy Spirit, please speak to us tonight. In your name we pray. Amen. As we study this great biblical revival, we've got to ask, what caused the people to cry, "The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God"? What caused the sound of abundance of rain? The nation had fallen into sin, and God sent a prophet, a man, to call the people back. Now, we always think that men like Elijah are superhuman. But no, the Bible says he was a man of like passions, like you and me. The difference between him and us, though, is that he was a man given over to God, as he asked every one of us to be. And because of that, he was mighty. He was mighty because he followed God. We are weak to the extent that we don't. We cry out, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" He's just where he always was. The question is, where are the Elijahs? And this is Elijah's, huh? Where are the men and women that God can use to do His work? But there are certain conditions that you and I are going to meet if we're going to have revival. We see the road Elijah had to take in chapter 17 and 18. Let's look tonight at some of the things that God put on the road to revival to prepare for the fire to fall, to prepare for the rain to come. Let's look first of all at Elijah's private life. If you don't have a real relationship with God in private, He can never use you to do anything real in public. I'm so afraid that we become hypocrites, mask wearers. We've got to fight putting on fronts. Now listen, you know this is what happens. We make a decision. We're going to be right with God. We are going to be this. We're going to be that. We're going to be a better father, mother. We're going to pray more. We're going to win souls. And we don't do what we know we ought to do. And so it's easy to put on an act. That's what's wrong with kids that grow up in Christian schools. They just put the mask on. They put the act on, and by the way, most of them learn how to do it at home. When we should be so transparent. I think one of the signs of a good Christian is if he can be and is transparent. A Baal worship was the religion of the day. It was so wicked and vile I couldn't describe it. Ahab as king was leading in this wickedness and perversion. And we notice in chapter 17, verses 1 through 6. Chapter 17, verses 1 through 6. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said to Ahab, "As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew or rain these years, but according to my word." And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, "Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself at the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan." Now to stop and say, remember what we're looking at? His private life. We're looking at God dealing with him and how he responds. "And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there." So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord. For he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening. And he drank of the brook. God said, go hide yourself. Get alone so I can deal with you. We don't like to be alone. We really don't like God to deal with us because He rips the mask off. Now, there are three experiences that God had for Elijah on this road before he could see revival. The first here is the brook experience. There had been a drought for about 6 months. And Elijah said, now it's not going to rain. And it didn't rain for 3 more years. And God sends him to the brook Cherith and provides for him. He sends ravens to bring meat and bread. And he gets along just fine. God will always take care of you if you are where He wants you. If there's ever a time you ought to be afraid to get out of God's will, it's now. I see people, that's one of the strengths of our church, is people do listen to this. But I see people follow the almighty dollar. But one of the saddest things I ever hear is, preacher, do you know where a good church, if there's a good church over here? Do you know how many really good churches there are in America? Not many. There isn't one a state, let me tell you that. I don't know if there's one good church for every 2 states. You say you're being judgmental. No, I'm just being honest. And then people go moving away for money's sake. Let me tell you something. You better make sure you are where God wants you. Because He cannot deal with you. He cannot bless you. Except you be there. Now some people say, well, I'm there and God doesn't bless me. I can't tithe. I can't get by and tithe. No, no, no. You do what's right. You keep sin out. You take care of God. He'll take care of you. When you're not taken care of, it's your problem, not His. I've never seen it fail. That's not just talk. He will take care of us if we are where God wants us to be. Again, verse 6 says, and the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening. And he drank of the brook. God was providing. Isn't it great to see God work? I just love it. But one day he noticed that the water level was going down. Maybe it was 2 feet deep and then it got to be a foot and a half. And man, then it got to 8 or 10 inches and then 2 inches and then dry. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. God was testing His man, and He always does. Turn to Proverbs 3. We say we have faith, but most of us that call ourselves Christians have so very little. We only serve when things are easy. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. What does that mean? You get where God wants you and you trust Him. That's what it means. There's people here that could give testimony of how they fouled up their life and then they got right back where God wanted them. And God is good. Not just to Brother Bishop. God is good to anybody that's right with Him. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. Psalm 37 says, trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Why did the brook dry up? Can you tell me? Was it sin in the prophet's life? course not. Was he out of God's will? No! God was trying to teach Elijah. He was trying to teach Elijah to look to Him and not to the brook. So many times we can't take what we think we want. God gives us a good job and we worship the job. God gives us money, whatever it might be. God gives us things and we look to our friends, we look to our parents. God, though, allows our brooks to dry up on the road to Mount Carmel, on the road to victory. God will allow your checkbook to dry up. God will allow financial problems in a church. He wants us to look to Him. Not a brook. Not a person. Not a job. If we're going to have revival, we're going to have our faith tested. Again, the brook dried up. Then, chapter 17, verses 8 and 9. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. Zarephath was a Gentile country. Put yourself in his shoes. The brook dries up. God says, go to this heathen country. And start reading in verse 10. And so he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, a widow woman was there gathering sticks. And he called her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she says, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I'm gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. Can you kind of look inside the prophet's heart when he says, Oh Lord, what are you doing? You sent me to be fed of this widow. And her son are starving to death. And what's God doing? He's trying his faith. Come on. Well, if we can learn this. God puts obstacles in our life. That's why people live and die. You can be saved for 50 years and not have any growth at all, because every time there's an obstacle, I see that in preachers, let alone laymen, every time there's an obstacle, we change. We say, it's God's will to do something else. We don't know what God's will is. We're just afraid. He says, Oh, wow, how's this lady going to feed me? Let me tell you something. The test of your character is what it takes to stop you. You and I prove what we really are when we are put under pressure. And God will allow dry brooks to come into our life. And He will allow starving widows to come into our lives if we're in God's will. The word Zarephath means refining. It's a refining process God puts us through. Sick beds. And by the way, we need to learn from Ray's sick bed and Don's sick bed. John's sick bed. We need to learn. He brings sick beds. He brings hurt feelings. He brings extreme pressures, lost jobs, burdens. God must build us. He's got to refine us and mold us for our public ministry. He's got to make something out of us if He can use us in His power. We'll never have revival until there's a personal working in our hearts. when we're alone, when no one else knows about it. If we were Elijah, our faith would begin to fail right there. Oh, God. Can you imagine that? I've thought of it many times. Here's a lady saying, "Oh, I'll get you some water." He says, "How about a little something to eat?" And she says, "I've got nothing. All I was going to do, I've got a little flour, and I'm going to wrap it around a stick," I guess she meant, "and I'm going to bake it, and my son and I, we're going to die." Wow. Can you imagine the faith that it took? Can you imagine the wrestling? Again, he's a man like us. Can you imagine what went through his mind? Ask her for food? God was strengthening his faith. Verse 13, it says, "Elijah said unto her, Fear not. Go and do as thou hast said. But make me therefore a little cake first, and bring it unto me. And after make for thee and for thy son." You think he didn't have any wrestling inside of him? That's what's wrong with us. We believe in God until it's going to hurt our pocketbook. We believe in God until it's going to hurt our feelings or something like that. I believe he had to swallow deep and say, "Now, you make me some first." Imagine what went through the woman's mind. "You make me, you think of something that can be more selfish than that. I'm starving to death. We're going to eat a little bit, my son and I, and we're going to die. Make me some first." Say, "I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it either unless I believed God." It's the only thing that made the prophet say what he said. Are you asking for a sound of abundance of rain? If we're ever going to see it, we've got to trust God. There will be dry brooks. There will be depleted barrels. We would admit that we're not perfect. But I'll tell you what, we run from every pain that God sends to mold us. We love to have it soft. We love to have a full bank account. We love to have a big retirement. We run. Why don't you let it pull you to your knees? Why don't you cry out to God, "Refine me, Lord"? Not why. Babies don't have revival. "For this, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal will not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth." You see his faith? It's getting him ready for Mount Carmel. We never have power with God until we mature in our private lives. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. And she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. The dry brook gave him a little faith. These starving people gave him much faith. But now God brings a dead boy into his life. In verse 17, "And it came to pass after these things, the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick. And his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. And she said unto Elijah, What have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance? And to slay my son?" How quickly we forget. Here he needed even more faith. I believe this is the first reference to a case of a resurrected body in the Bible. He took him into private And he prayed in verse 19, and he said unto her, give me thy son. And he took him out of her bosom and carried him up into a loft where he abode and laid him upon his own bed. And he cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, hast thou also brought evil upon this widow with whom I sojourned by slaying her son? And he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come to him again. He was discouraged, you can tell, but he did what was right. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down out of the chamber into the house and delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah said, see, thy son liveth. We miss so many good things when we convince ourselves that God's will has changed, and so we will change. God's going to put us through trials and tests if we want revival. If there had not been a Zarephath, there would have not have been a Carmel. During problems, it's not the time to quit, but it's the time to repent and say to God, show me any sin. Don't let me hold revival back in my life or my family or my church. God is molding and making us. So we see his private ministry prepared him for his public ministry. Let's look at that in chapter 18, verse 1. And it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, go show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. You see, in verse 17, it said, go hide yourself. Now he's ready, and God says, go show yourself. And he meets many people on the way. He encounters Obadiah, a fellow prophet, in verse 3. And Ahab called Obadiah, which was the governor of his house. Now Obadiah feared the Lord greatly. He was the chaplain to the king. He was maybe the president of the county ministerial association. And we read in verse 4, and it was so when Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord, that Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by 50 in a cave, and fed them with bread and water. And Ahab said unto Obadiah, go into the land, unto all fountains of water, and unto all brooks. Preadventure we may find grass to save the horses and mules alive, that we lose not all the beasts. So they divided the land between them to pass throughout it. Ahab went one way by himself, and Obadiah went another by himself. It very well may be, and probably will be, that the first person you meet after you really say, I am determined to be everything I can be for God, will be a halfway Christian. They may even try and talk you out of doing what's right. Have you ever noticed college students? Listen to me. You want to be right? It shouldn't be this way, but it was this way when I was in college, and it's this way now. There are people that don't want you to be right, because that makes them look bad. And they'll do anything. It may be relatives. They try and draw you into their backslidden position. High school students, man, they say, man, I think that we're too strict with music. Don't you think so, huh? Listen, And it might be some Christian friend, and you think he's a great Christian, and we're in a campaign trying to get souls and trying to get people out, and we want to get everybody, and they say, "Well, I just can't get anybody." If you can't get anybody, shut up! Don't try and get other people to be like you are. Don't make excuses. Don't try and pull them back. Shut up! People will come along, "I wonder what's wrong with our church." You'll never see revival unless you're 100% sold out to God. And you will meet Obadiahs, maybe in your family, that'll try and pull you off course. That's why you better watch who you hang with. And that's why I say, if people get this way, get away! Why is it that there are certain groups of people that hang together? And why is it that when one person's a pretty good person and he hangs with them, you know that's it? They don't pull them up. That's it. Again, look at verses 7 and 8. And as Obadiah was in the way, behold, Elijah met him, and he knew him and fell on his face and said, "Art thou my Lord Elijah?" And he answered him, "I am. Go tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah's here." I get a kick out of that. He paid him lip service. And Elijah said, "You go to your Lord. Most wicked man in the country. That's your Lord." And he said, What have I sinned that thou wouldest deliver thy servant unto the hand of Ahab to slay me? As the Lord thy God liveth, there is no nation or kingdom whether my Lord hath not sent to seek thee." In other words, he wants Elijah dead. "And when they said, 'He is not here,' he took an oath of that kingdom, that nation, that they found thee not." Ahab, "My Lord," he said now. He didn't want to get involved with Elijah. He was worried about his own security. Then he blew his own horn in verse 13. "Was it not told my Lord what I did when Jezebel slew the prophets of the Lord, how I hid 100 men of the Lord's prophets by 50 in the cave and fed them with bread and water?" Let me tell you something. If you're doing something for God, you don't want to tell people about it. Pray, "Lord, show me." If you're going to do something for God, you're going to be humble. You're not going to be proud. "Didn't they tell you what I did?" No, it ought to be, "Oh God, show me, is there any jealousy? Is there any covetousness? Is there any pride? Show me malice, gossip, fault-finding." The flesh fights this, and Obadiah didn't want anything to do with it. He also slighted the word of the prophet in verse 14, "And now thou sayest, 'Go tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here, and he will slay me.' You're lying." And Elijah said, "As the Lord of hosts liveth, behold, before whom I stand, I will surely show myself unto him this day." You will always find half-hearted Christians on the road to revival. Always. But you also will meet Ahabs. Verse 17 reads, "And it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him, 'Art thou he that troubleth Israel?'" The government always blames the Bible believers. Thousands of public school teachers are assaulted, beat up every year. There are drugs, as everybody knows, commonplace in the schools. Rot, murder, people just killing one another, little kids, child molesting, delinquency. And what do they say?
Get the churches.
We preach against sodomy. This Senator Santorum, I don't know him that well, but there's been a real wildfire about him the last few days. Catholic fella. And he said something negative. He, as I understand it, said that sodomy was sin. And I mean, he's attacked like a bunch of dogs are after him. But that's the way it is, isn't it? We preach against sodomy and sin and abortion and adultery. The ruination of our country. And what do people say? Art thou he that troubleth Israel? Isn't that true? It was Ahab and Jezebel who led the nation into sin. And God was compelled to judge the nation because of it. But they say, art thou he that troubleth Israel? That's the way it always is. It's them. Those kooks over there. They said Jesus stirred up the people. They said the Apostle Paul exceedingly troubled the city. They said of Amos, the land is not able to bear his words. I'll tell you what, I'll stand with them. I'll stand with them. Even though most Bible believers are distancing themselves. Most colleges nowadays, they want the world to sound more like music, like the world all the time, and anything we look at, standards, anything like that, get accredited. Churches changing and changing. I'll stand for old-time religion. And I hope you're not ashamed of it. We try to win souls. We try to dress like Christians. We reject nudity. We reject adultery and wicked music. Art thou he that troubleth Israel? We're told that to be accepted, is what we should do. But if you're accepted by the world, you're not by God. I watch some of you, not some of you, I watch all of you. Great preaching will be going on and you're picking pimples. I'm not kidding. Just floating along up here sometime. You better get serious. Listen, I don't expect to receive the Kiwanis Good Neighbor Award. And we shouldn't worry about that. When we set out for revival, we will run into Obadiah's and Ahab's. But praise God, we also see the people of the nation. In verse 21, and Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him, but if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. I remember in the early days of the church, I'd put ads in the paper like that. Who are you going to follow? I remember the editor of the paper, the Chesterton paper, calling me up and saying, you must be misquoting this. And I said, no, that's the Bible. It's one or the other. Let me ask you, are you playing at being a Christian? We talk about the modernists having a form and a ritual. Now, listen to me. Some of you people, you young people, you're in college, you think you're going to get married. You better learn what it is right be right with God before you get married. Some of you are married. You want to lead your home. You better learn what it is to be right with God. You see, what I'm trying to say is we independent Baptists have our share of people that there's no reality, if you be honest with yourself, no reality, no burden, no compassion, no zeal, no travail, just going through the motions. How can you do it? And Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt you between two opinions? I ask you that right now. High school student, college student, husband, wife. How long halt you between two opinions? How long are you going to be a mask wearer? How long is it going to be before you're transparent? How long is it going to be until you're honest with God? How long halt you between two opinions? The Lord be God, follow Him. Isn't that true? The editor couldn't figure it out, can you? If the Lord be God, follow Him. Quit playing games. Quit lying to yourself. You're sending people to hell around you. The Lord be God, follow Him. If Baal, then follow Him. No half-heartedness, but all the way or nothing. Look at verses 24 through 29. And call ye on the name of your gods, and I'll call on the name of the Lord. He challenged them. And the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. And Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, choose you one bullock for yourselves, and dress it first, for ye are many. And call on the name of your gods, but put no fire under. And they took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it, and called on the name of Baal from morning even till noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, nor any that answered. And they leapt upon the altar which was made. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, cry aloud, for he's a god. Either he's talking, or he's pursuing, or he's in a journey, or pre-adventure. He sleepeth and must be awakened. And they cried aloud and cut themselves after their manner with knives and lancets till the blood gushed out upon them. And it came to pass, when midday was past, they had prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that there was neither voice, nor any answer, nor any that regarded. He went to the people. Let me tell you something. We ought to have a burden for the people. And he faced the prophets of Baal. He had no respect. He laughed. You notice him? Hey, why don't you jump up and down some more? Why don't you cut yourself some more? Your God, he's talking, or he's traveling, or he's sleeping. He just laughed at him. Then the prophet said, come close. And he rebuilt the altar. I think that's a picture of revival. Dug a trench and poured 12 barrels of water. He had confidence of answered prayer. And in verse 36 it says, and it came to pass at the time of the evening offering, of the evening sacrifice, that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that Thou art God in Israel, and that I am Thy servant, and that I have done all these things at Thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that these people may know that Thou art the Lord God, and that Thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when the people saw it, they fell on their faces and said, the Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is the God. And Elijah said unto them, take the prophets of Baal. Let not one of them escape. And they took them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon, and slew them there. And Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink, for there's a sound of abundance of rain. That's revival. Sin destroyed. Miracles from God. The people turned to Him. He simply prayed, you notice, show them that You're the only true God. Show them that I'm Your prophet and I'm preaching Your word. And the fire fell. And there was a sound of abundance of rain. You know what scares me in this preaching of revival? Just get old. To some, it'll just get old. We need to get on the road. We need to get on the road. Whether you're a teenager, college student, parents. And if you are, don't get discouraged by God's molding. He doesn't say it'll be easy. And don't be dissuaded by the devil's dissenters. Don't worry about other people. We worry about other people too much. We listen to other people too much. And what we just need to do is, as we saw tonight, get alone with God. Make sure we are right with Him. Make sure we have His power. Get to work. Quit playing games. And the result will be people crying out, the Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is the God. Don't you want that? God wants it. He wants it. We've played so much. We've wore our masks so much. We've put our act on so much. But we think that's it. Maybe that's it for you. But it's not for me. And it's not what God wants. God wants revival. He wants excitement. I don't mean Pentecostal type. I'm talking about He wants excitement. He wants thrill. He wants souls. He wants lives changed. He wants families raised for Him. He doesn't want people playing games. Let's pray. Lord, please take this message forward.